This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, April 16th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. It's beautiful outside. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Blessed Easter, everybody, and the end of another holy week, actually, from Passover to Easter and Greek Orthodox Easter. And everybody lines up, you know, simultaneously this year. It's a great thing. The only thing that I'm missing is our neighbors gathering. They're Greek Orthodox, and we get to go. So, but this year, I spent it with my family. And hopefully all of you celebrate in your own way. It's a very special, special occasion. 888-630-9625. Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have a program today that, you know, probably is to the point of a lot of the indulgence that you're all going to grab. You know, many of you have been giving things up for the Christian Lenten season, and now today you're going to go out and do yourself damage. Well, damage comes in a whole lot of different formats, and one of them comes with, you know, eating grains that shouldn't be in your body to begin with, but nevertheless you're going to set that rule aside, and you're going to go out and you're going to do things. But the program today is the tease for this Wednesday evening's in-house continuing education program at the Results Center for Healing. And that program is simply going to be about gluten sensitivity, or what we call the gluten connection, digestive disorders, you know, those things that make your stomach hurt and rumble. And who other than my multidimensional colleague, who can think about 20 things at one time, and you can see it in his eyes when he does it, because he's all over the place with a brilliant, brilliant Dr. Scott Lamp. Welcome, Scott.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody.
Wow, that was easy.
That was an easy one. That was an easy one.
That was easy. I think he liked the accolade, actually. Anyway, so this Wednesday we have a really fascinating program, and it's going to be on the gluten connection and all those things that make the body very unhappy, from brain function to spinal pain to joint spaces and so forth.
And I think the other thing, too, is also not just focusing on gluten, but also focusing on those things that cause irritation that are, we're going to talk a little bit about antigens, that little term there, things that affect our guts, gluten being a big one, but there's plenty of other ones that are there that can have some similar effect.
You know, the interesting thing, and I want to get into this kind of straight off the basis, you know, gluten and gluten intolerances and so forth are on the rise exponentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people say, well, it didn't happen when I was a kid. Well, the problem is that all of our foods are GMO modified, and
a lot of changes.
They're changing rapidly. They're, you know, we have hybridizations and genetic shifts and so forth. And now we have these monster foods, if you want to call them, that are out there, and they're raising havoc. I mean, to the point that it's illegal to import U.S. agricultural goods unless they're GMO-free and they're organic into Europe and any places within the EU. So it's important to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, we're making like Frankenstein vegetables. We're putting things together to make things so they're resistant to certain aspects, but we keep on forgetting what the balance is here. Another thing you're talking about here is storage. Storage of things in silos, and endotoxins and things like that can cause some problems with the foods too. So there's a lot of things, additional processing that we're doing, the GMOs, some of those things that are different from what it was originally years past.
You know, patients come in, they complain about memory problems. They complain about brain fog, mm-hmm. and the lack of focus, the inability to concentrate on one item without being distracted to something else. Part of it is, you know, that our society is moving so rapidly that we have to handle 10,000 things. But mm-hmm. seriously, this is a problem. I want you to tie in. Let's go initially to this thing called the gut-brain phenomenon, the gut brain barrier, and it's being breached, and we're having all kinds of problems because of that.
Well, I think the first thing that happens is as soon as you put something into the body has a means of attack. It has an army that goes after it, and it tries to break that particular substance down. But there is some substances we're exposed to that we can't break down very, very well. So it continues to do this chronic type of re-reaction. It can't follow and finish the process. And as it does that, it kicks in a lot of the elements that happen into our small intestine, and also kicks in some problems with the liver gets involved. And there's something called T-cell activation, and it's an interesting thing because T-cells have a tendency. We have this barrier in our body called the four barriers. We have one for our intestinal tract, and we have one in our skin and our brain and our lung tissues. And the T-cells can go across the blood-brain barrier. So once we activate that and we cannot break this thing down and it keeps on causing an irritation, some of these things now can get across the blood-brain barrier. Now we got some of those problems with that.
You know, I was very taken back, actually, and I was preparing to do a presentation down in Florida, and I was adding the grain piece into this module, and we were talking about spinal pain and joint pain that doesn't go away, intractable situations. And I'm reading through gluten and, you know, the inflammatory levels that are associated with not only gluten but grain for so many people. And what I came across was that traditional science, not just, you know, our look at it, is rapidly pointing out that one of the major causes of depression and anxiety, we're talking one of the top two or three,
right,
is gluten sensitivity.
I mean, if you want to go down the whole list of some of these things, there's a lot of things here. Like you're talking about fibromyalgia type problems, things with joint pain, failure to thrive. Some of these things actually have an effect on the neuronal growth factor that's on nerves and the myelin. So sometimes they've been affected by that kind of thing. If we introduce foods too early to young children or infants and things like that, and eating those type of foods, brain fog, tremendous amount of information that's starting to change how we think with psychiatric disorders, bipolar, schizophrenia, depression, because one of those things could be possibly a deficiency nutritionally, but then we're talking about, I mean, the real big enemy here really is inflammation. It's an inflammatory aspect, and what an inflammation does is creates a wall, and the wall creates a stoppage of communication, either hormones, neurotransmitters, nutrition, and those kind of things. And when you set something up, and especially like this with gluten, once it's there, if you don't get rid of that completely, then you're going to keep on going back and repeating the process. And I think that's one of the important things in trying to treat with this is one of the things you've got to get rid of the irritant.
You know, it's unfortunate that we are not smart enough to realize that when we open our mouths and put food in it, it's going to have a profound effect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many doctors out there from every different venue that says that, well, it, you know, food's food, and as long as it has nutrients and vitamins, it doesn't make any difference what you put in your body. And we know that that is so wrong because it continues to perpetuate. It's a self-fulfilling cycle of, you know, inflammation, irritation, craving, irritation, inflammation, and it
right.
goes on. And it makes things far worse. And a little bit of something. So, well, I've been really good this week. Well, what does really good mean? Well, I've been much better than I've been. Well, what does that really mean? And they tell you, well, I've only had gluten two or three times. And what I do is I give them a visual. I said, you know what that's like? You have a blister that is covering a injury because you've been, you know, bumping into something. And what you're doing is that every time that almost good, almost perfect, you're taking that blister, that scab, if you will, mm-hmm. and you're pulling it back, and the raw sore, the open area now has to heal all over again, and the pain pattern's the same.
Yeah, and if taking a couple of bites of gluten could actually create some problems for maybe two months down the road that you're still dealing with that. And I think the other thing is also where I was looking at the whole system of the body. What's the other organs doing? How healthy are you going into this in the first place? Is the liver there supposed to help with detoxification and turning things to make them they can get them out of the body so the body can detox? But that's overly burdened too. And that plays a big part when these antigens start coming up because now you got an inflammatory part of the stomach, the digestive tract, which actually goes systemically to the rest of the body. And then you've also got the liver there that's trying to help with that too. But if you already came in with major problems already, you're just going to amplify it to a larger degree.
You know, here's an interesting correlation. I touched upon it a little bit when you and I were driving up today and was talking about injury patterns, trauma, and sometimes they don't have to be big injury patterns at all. but they affect the skull and the upper portion of the neck, the vestibular area particularly, which are your automatic reflexes and make things work the way they're supposed to work in the body. But people who have bumped their heads, who have gotten into tussles, who had car accidents, who played sports, soccer particularly, they're beating their head against the ball all the time, end up causing a lot of things downstream that they don't notice until they get a little older, because youthfulness obviously has its ability. But even youth today, as we know, have so many problems with joint space, juvenile rheumatoid patterns, and endocrine problems, and ADD and ADHD, and you know, it's a catch-22.
Right. I think the thing is when you take a look at some of the things, when you irritate the nervous system, again, it's the master communication center of the body and making things work. And, you know, when we talk about things that come from the spine and how much information goes towards pain and how much pain goes to function, and basically you're looking at approximately about 10% of the aspect that comes from the spine to that goes to the organs and things has to do with pain. The other 90% have to do with function. So if I have an irritation there, do I have an overreaction or underreaction of that organ for the stimulation that it comes from? And that'll come from anywhere from the cranial system all the way down to the spine and coming out. And again, physical irritation. And this goes back, I think, Tom, you mentioned about the triad that we do in our office. It's the aspect of structure, it's chemistry and emotion, and they kind of blurred lines in between those two and how well they work and work together.
Well, people pick and choose which one they want to look at. You know?
Right.
And it's an unfortunate situation that when you have one, it's going to cause the other if it's chronic over a period of time. And we don't look at living in that triad of structural, chemical, emotional pathways. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp, is going to be talking about the gluten connection. If those of you who've heard Dr. Lamp speak know that he is just a fountain of information, one that you don't want to miss. And if you haven't experienced him, please show up. April the 19th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing. Also gives you an opportunity to see the new digs that we're in. I think you'll like them. Matter of fact, I know you will. It's fun to go into work, but we just have a really nice place. But more importantly, you're going to learn about what's going on with your pain patterns and why they just don't go away. The phenomena is often straight in front of you. Dr. Scott, when, you know, we're dealing with patients, one of the things that I was really surprised at, not recently, but probably within the last 5-6 years, I always thought there was a connection simply from the clinical presentation, but now the actual evidence is there. You know, we're talking about diabetic neuropathies. You know, you see it all over on television, and, you know, all the drugs that are there to try to quiet this stuff down. And they're talking about this blood sugar phenomenon. And the truth of it is, it does cause these things if it's gone. It can cause amputation, loss of kidneys, loss of eyesight. But what they're showing now is not so much as the blood sugar. It's gluten. And right. Gluten can cause these neuropathic pains in the hands and the fingers and the feet and toes and so forth. Identical, if not worse, to those that are caused by blood sugar.
In rheumatoid arthritis, for example, there's about a 37-38% times they see the antibodies to gluten that are there when they're doing the sampling of the tissue. So these things are rampant through a lot of those places. And I think the thing, when you come to the talk, we'll talk about gluten can affect you as it breaks down into several different forms, and each one of those forms could be the culprit. So there's multiple places along its digestive breakdown that can cause some of these problems.
So, in other words, if we don't have the ability to break it up, even if you don't have the predisposition, you will.
Right.
That's an interesting situation because people come in and ask, well, I've never been allergic to gluten before, and well, now you are. And many things can happen that it was such at a low level and you keep throwing the pizza and the hoagies and everything else at it and the bagels, and now because too much is too much, now you got the problem.
Okay.
And the exposure continues as we get older because we don't have the enzymes in our gut and we have to be much more tolerant and we don't eat appropriately. And guess what happens with all those grains? They go to your butt and they get bigger as you get older. Having said that,
it's all about the base.
That's right. It's all about the base. We'll be right back after some very important messages. We're here on Easter Sunday. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live in studio on Easter Sunday. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 19th of April, Dr. Scott Lamp. He's going to be talking about digestive disorders, you know, stuff that makes you bloat and feel like you're about 6 months pregnant. you know, the irritation, the diarrhea, the constipation, the cramping, all that stuff. You want to get rid of it? This is the night to show up. Give our office a call at 703-698-7117 and tell them that you'd like to attend Dr. Scott's presentation. Remember, there is no charge. We do these as a gift to you, a public service. We want you to know the truth. Get to know what you really can do to make a difference in your life so you don't have to suffer with this nonsense. You may not like what's being told, but I can promise you it's the truth. It's something that is really going on. Dr. Scott, welcome back again. Let's get into this a little bit more about, you know, this ugliness that occurs within the lower confines of our intestinal system. You know, we talked about brain fog and it affects all these areas, but why are more and more people becoming so gluten intolerant and gluten sensitive?
Well, I think you got to take a look at, again, we mentioned before about the GMO aspects, and I think also looking at what what we do more and more to change the foods. And you talked earlier before about the aspect of why the European countries sometimes don't take our grains. There's problems with wheat in itself, but once you change it, it's also additional change. I was talking about there's multiple layers to when the gluten gets digested where it can become a problem. When you start processing it, it changes into another aspect. And that's where, like, the European countries say, we don't want that stuff. We don't want that change. We don't want that certain protein alteration that happens to that food. And again, it's another spot. And that's where actually you find more of the cellular reaction or inflammatory actions happen. But even whole food, especially in the United States, still has some problems with it.
And at the end of the day, here's an underlying question for those patients who don't know. What is gluten?
Well, gluten is a form of a protein that's in all wheat. And then wheat breaks down to actually, gluten is actually two things. There's something called gladin and then glutenin. It's actually two different things. And that's what I'm saying about two different aspects when you're looking at what breaks down. Now, the protein, as it breaks down in the body, we identify, at least in the medical side, they're looking at something called alpha, an alpha form of gladin. The problem with that is there's four other parts. And so if we look at that and measure that, we're only measuring that one part, we might be missing the three other parts.
And when they're testing a normal traditional laboratory form, somebody goes to their doctor and says, hey, listen, I want to know if I'm gluten sensitive because I'm having problems.
They test the alpha form.
The alpha form. And when they come back and say, no, I don't have any problem. Yeah, you do. And the way we test it in the practice, it shows up.
Right. And I think one of the things is there's also an omega form, which is interesting, because if you combine that, eating that with exercise has been showing the signs of anaphylactic shock with that. And that's not the one we're measuring. So there is laboratories that do that. And even when we talked about the gladin and the glutenin was thought to be non-toxic. Well, now it's being found to be toxic. So now we've got another thing we've got to possibly measure. So the thing is it's how good about what kind of measurements are doing and when the medical, or at least the nutritional companies are actually picking these up. On the medical side, they're not so much.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because you have all these different forms of gluten. They're only measuring one. Patient comes in and we say, you know, you have a problem with gluten. They say, no, my doctor says I can eat all the grains I want to. We're going to get into the grain aspect as well. But here's the situation. When somebody has a gluten problem, What's the difference between a gluten allergy, gluten sensitivity, and celiac? They're all related to gluten.
Yeah, that's the interrelationship. And the thing is it all depends on, like, somebody will come in and say, well, you think about celiac disease, the really bad kinds where you have like a bloody bowel and stuff of those natures, and it's really, I mean, it's a life-threatening situation. They're highly sensitive. The question is you can also be slightly sensitive. And they're talking about, of those people that have celiac disease, one out of the eight really show clinically really the really bad irritations to it. But the other ones could be asymptomatic. But I always like to think, is it really asymptomatic? You have to dig a little bit deeper in the symptoms. Do you have brain fog, which they might not think about being related to digestive problems? They're always thinking about digestion, since my belly hurt, what's coming out of my bowels, so on and so forth. There's so many other underlying things that can be affected by that. Like you talked about joint pains and stuff of that nature. Migraine headaches could be associated with these kind of things. So, you know, lack of thriving, I talked about in children, if they're introduced in some of these foods too early. So it depends on how far you're asking the question and going down. And, you know, doing some of the techniques we do in their office is kind of an interesting thing, rotary diets and stuff, those kind of aspects, and to find out, wait a minute, I feel much better after I'm off of it. and its proof is in the pudding.
You know, it's an interesting situation when it comes to the divining rod, if you will, of the different types of reactions that take place in the body. And we can actually look at the toxic reactions. And the toxic cascade is very different than an allergic reaction. An allergic reaction is very different than a sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And they affect different markers within the intestinal system and within liver function and mm-hmm. the like. And here, that's where the inherent problem is and the loss of identification comes from. If you don't pick it up specifically, you can't fix it. And that intestinal system, and we're going to talk about the intestinal brain connection, because we know that 80% of all your neurochemistries rely or are in the intestinal system.
Right,
so
right.
We have to make sure that we keep that in mind as we go through this whole process, because the brain is so important when it comes to everything that happens in your body.
We'll talk about second brain.
We will. 888-630-9625. We're going to start taking your calls when we come back after these very important messages. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on Easter Sunday. We're here for you as we always are. We always are live. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. My guest in studio, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, the none other than the brilliant one, Dr. Scott Lamp. He'll be talking about digestive disorders, the gluten connection, why your belly hurts all the time, why your brain's going dead, why your body hurts, and your unwillingness to give these things up so you could feel better. Actually, we're going to give you some really straight up, you know, this is what's happening, this is why it's going to take place, and if you follow these guidelines, you're going to walk away with some information. But more importantly, it causes a spin, a recidivistic action. If you have structural problems and pain and so forth, this thing is eating you up. But before we do that, let's go to the phones. Jerry, calling from Leesburg. How can I help you, sir?
I've been having issues with my elbows for about 4 years. It dates back to an overuse injury that has never recovered. But lately, it seems to be getting worse. And I'm basically healthy. I do a lot of what you say. But I will tell you that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did take a round of antibiotics, of an antibiotic called Leviquin.
Wow, yeah, it's a heavy-duty drug.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this has anything to do with the joints, and my elbows just seem to be getting worse.
Yeah, one of the side effects of Leviquin is joint pain. And anything that is underlying that might be there will be made worse in many cases by that specific drug. You can look it up, go to drugs.com, put Leviquin in there, and you'll see the side effects, and some of them are pretty significant.
But it was go ahead. Even 2 or 3 weeks ago, does that
yeah, it doesn't it, bother it? It doesn't matter, sure. Once it gets in, because you end up causing, as you know, stealing Dr. Lamp's words, this inflammatory barrier, this cascade, and once it gets started, until you break it, it can continue to cause problems. Dr. Scott, you were going to say something. I saw your mouth moving.
Yeah, I think one of the things is Jerry, is that you really got to look at if something stays around, like if you were doing something that was causing problems with the elbows in the first place, and you let alone from it, and you gave it rest and stuff of that nature, it generally should come around to some extent. But if something stays around, you got to kind of start looking outside the box. I hate that term, outside the box. But what other things are going on? And that's why I'm like, we talk about that triangle type situation. What's going on with medications you're taking? What are the things that are blocking and the body can't communicate, can't heal itself? You've got those things going on. And that's, it sounds like, especially if you've had this for 4 years, there's something blocking your healing ability.
Jerry, just out of you know, a thought process, think this through. Your elbows hurt. You're saying it's an overuse situation to begin with. Without getting into it, I want you to think about the mechanics of your elbows. You have multiple muscles that either insert in or originate from. Those muscles are innervated by nerves that come from your neck. Each muscle in the body has an acupuncture circuit. It has an organ that it relates to by virtue of nothing else, by the spinal nerve roots. They come out, they divide. One branch goes to organ, another branch goes inside, one branch goes to organ, the other side goes to the muscle pattern. So you have to look at it multidimensionally. You can use, like a carpenter has a hammer in his hand or her hand, and they're banging, 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 banging. The wrist gets irritated and swollen. Now, it may be because the muscles aren't working, or it can be something else that we identify often in many people, athletes and people who use their arms, their hands, their wrists, and their elbows all the time, is something called a ligament stretch reaction. It means that the ligament structure, the tendon structure around the joint space can't hold, and is not receiving adequate amounts of a hormone called a mineralocorticoid. It's a steroid that's produced in the adrenal glands. And so subsequently, anything that you do to that joint is going to become injurious and producing inflammatory reactions. You add that to medications, as Dr. Scott said, and now you've got a you've got Niagara Falls, and it just doesn't stop.
And Jerry, I remember I had I just recently went to go visit somebody at their workplace to take a look at what problems they were having. The first thing the person came up to says, "Oh, you know what? I went to a chiropractor, I went to a PT, I went to this," and basically their whole body position was distorted in how they worked. I mean, not just that the elbow stopped, but the head was going forward, shoulders rolling forward. And it was Tom was talking about before about the aspect of what happens structurally. You might be doing things at home, rolling your shoulders, heads dropping down, putting a stretch. Constant irritation that's there. But again, going all the way around that triangle, the medications, is there a chemical base? Tom just talked about something on the stress mechanism, on the cortisol base. Are the bodies healing? I mean, the mineralocorticoids are from an adrenal aspect. The body, are you super stressed out? So your abilities to be able to retain and heal become quite lowered. So now you get into this kind of running around the circle where you just can't have just enough to get over the hump.
Repetitive stress patterns, Jerry, don't go away just because you stop doing things. And it's, you know, it's like, well, I backed it off. Well, back it off doesn't mean that you're not using the joint space. And obviously your elbows, you're using them every day. But you have to look at what triggered it. What was in place before this took place, and then go back as far as you can and further as far up into the nervous system as you can and treat that. And then you begin to see things begin to happen. We deal with a lot of the NFL players, and these guys talk about repetitive stress.
You know,
they're beating themselves up constantly. And if we don't deal with the things that we're talking about with you, their problems never go away. Actually, they get progressively worse and they end up, you know, losing their career.
And a lot of times you got to go away from, like, you address a look at the wrist and elbow, but you also have to take a look where the other parts of the body are doing. What's the shoulder doing? What's the neck doing? And those kind of things, because they play a part. Kind of think of it as like a train from the fingers all the way up into the shoulder, into the nervous system, into the spine. And what are you doing there that might be creating some of those problems? Those all have to be looked at.
Does that make a little sense to you, Jerry?
It does. It sounds like a complicated solution.
Well, it's actually not. I mean, it's complicated because, you know, this is the first time it's actually been introduced to you, because you have to remember that most treatment in our society allopathically is compartmentalized. Look at whatever the pain is, but where the pain is doesn't mean where it's coming from. And you have to fix those things to make sure that it happens.
And Jerry, everything we just said here doesn't mean you have all the things we're talking about. We have to bit back and narrow it down to your specific type of situation. So, but again, we always in those parameters of those three things, structure, chemistry, and stress aspects on the body, and then figure out where it goes from there.
Jerry, do me a favor. Go to RoselleCare.com, send me a note, and I will send you the name of somebody out in Leesburg that can help you. There's somebody I'm thinking of right off the top of my head. If you do that, we'll make it happen. Jerry, thank you for your phone call. I really appreciate it. 888-630-9625. Ron, thank you for holding so long. How can we help you? Ron, are you there?
Ron,
turn your radio down. I can hear the radio. Ron, give us a call back. You're there, but you're somewhere away from the phone. 888-630-9625.
So it might be brain fog.
It might be brain fog. It might be that bagel that he had this morning. Let's talk a little bit more about this whole brain intestinal tract connection.
Okay, I think before you were trying to lead me to a particular point here, we were talking about the aspect of differences between, you know, well, doc, while I eat something, I don't get an immediate reaction, so it can't be the gluten problem. There's really kind of two types of happens. You have a direct allergy, which is usually if you eat something, you know it. You either have an itchy tongue or you get some type of reaction that, oh, my hands seem to swell when I eat this type of food. But you have something also called sensitivities, and sensitivities can be delayed, and that can be up to 3 to 4 or 5 days later that you get reactions. And then you're like, well, how many meals did I have between between those days, 15, 16 meals, and how can you put it together? And the other thing is, we didn't talk about this cross-reactivity, because sometimes the gluten has a kind of certain presentation of the gut that gets it inflamed, but something else might be very similar to it and attach to it and cross it. You know, so we've had cases where somebody comes in and we get them off of gluten and they feel better, but not 100%. About half their symptoms go down, and that's usually sometimes like a cross-reactivity, which gets into, like I said, well, cover a little bit on the talk about things like casein, which is in milk and stuff of that nature that can create some of those problems.
You know, so many people, if you took, and we get into talking about dairy products, if you took dairy and refined sugars and grains out of their diet, the majority of their problems would be dramatically limited or eliminated completely. It's an amazing situation. It's crazy. But we as a society have created our own detriment.
Right.
And we continue to move it forward in a way that we ignore the obvious. And it's unfortunate, but we continue this process ongoing. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening, April the 19th, 7 p.m. He's going to be talking about digestive disorders, the gluten connection, and all the things that it does to your body relative to pain patterns and brain fog. And, you know, and we're talking about serious memory problems that can come about as a result. You know, Alzheimer-like conditions, believe it or not, will come come as a result of this type of situation. So the process is significant. It's very, very significant. So if you'd like to find out what you can do about it, if you'd like to find out, is there another way? Are you really serious about, you know, making your health better? This is an opportunity. Call our office, 703-698-7117. 703-698-7117. If you'd like to check Dr. Scott out, go to RoselleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RoselleCare.com. And you'll see his handsome mug sitting there and know what you're getting into when you walk in.
Checks in the mail.
That checks in the mail. That's right. You better pay up. Digestive disorders as we are getting into it. And the phones are lighting up like crazy. Ron, how can we help you? Ron, are you there?
I hear a background.
Yeah. Ron is not picking up or he's not able to communicate with us. So unfortunately, we got to drop it. 888-630-9625. Dr. Scott, let's talk a little bit about how, you know, I want to get into the genetic predispositions a little bit with gluten sensitivities and rumblings. There's some people that no matter, you know, they can be good for years, and then they go back just a little bit. They get into the grains, they get into the gluten, and their whole life falls apart. What pass-through are we talking about? Is there any predispositions like there is with, you know, BRCA markers with breast cancer and cardiac disease and so forth?
Yeah, there can be some aspects out there in the gene elements there. I think if we turn a gene on or off, they're talking about those aspects, and really it's environmental reaction. Let's talk about genes in a second, how they kind of play in our lifestyle. There was a study that was done looking at twins, a Danish study that was looking at twins over from the 1800s, who were born in the 1800s and they passed away, and they looked at, you know, what took their lives, what was the relationship to both of them. And they found that about 25% of it was involved with genetic aspects that had a big marker in their life, and then 75% of it was based on environmental exposure. So you've got two things going for you. One is one aspect, or going against, might be going against you, is your environment that you do and what you eat. And, of course, the food chain has changed considerably. And then the other aspect is there a genetic predisposition, which could be like you're missing a certain nutrition or deficiency. You might be more susceptible to it. And there are those things that are out there that can have those kind of effects on us.
All right. We're going to go try one more time. And I think Ron might be there this time. Ron, how can we help you?
Hello, doctor.
Yeah, we sound like you're in an echo chamber.
I know that there is a high correlation between sugar and sugar substitutes with the body and the inflammation and all that. What about sugar that comes from fructose, like blueberries, raisins, things like that? Could you comment on that, how that affects the microbiome?
Sure. Ron, I'm going to knock you off because it sounds like you're in an echo
Grand
chamber.
Canyon.
It's a Grand Canyon, but we'll comment on that. Sugar is sugar is sugar is sugar, straight across the board. And it doesn't make any difference what form of sugar. If you get enough of it, there's a problem. The sugar in fruits are fructose. And fructose in quantities can cause a problem. They're slower acting if you eat just a little bit. They're actually good for you because of the high levels of antioxidants, polyphenols, and so forth that exist within the fruit. The more colorful, the better. The berries are your best guys, strawberries and blueberries and blackberries and, you know, so forth. Those things are great, but not to where you're eating those all day long. You know, they need to be limited in your diet, 1 to 2 servings a day. A serving is considered a half a cup. Many of you are out there saying, oh, my God, only half a cup of fruit? Only half a cup. And if you're going to do things like honey, then you have to make sure that you balance them out. One piece is, you know, a piece of fruit is great, but stay away from fruit juices. Fruit juices are concentrated, heavy in fructose. It can cause all the problems that other types of fruits can as well in excess. So you have to be real careful. You can have the fruit. Fruit's good for you, but limit it and make sure that you're not eating fast-acting fruits, fast-acting carbohydrates. Everybody wants their, you know, couple bananas a day. It's not the best form of fruit, even though they tell you that it's potassium, and it's not really high in potassium until it's ripened on the tree.
Well, I think also one thing you look at is like bananas have about 18 grams of fructose on it, and they're talking about if you're sugar sensitive, not having more than 15, plus you're going to probably get another 10 or so from the foods that you don't even aware that they have them in them. So I think one of the things to take a look at, if you're very sugar sensitive, you're diabetic, hypoglycemic, you really want to watch how much you have. And like Dr. Tom was talking about, look at the berries work really, really well. Grapes have a tendency to be really high in them. So does the aspect of, apples have a little bit, but also the thing that kind of fights that a little bit with better with the apples, at least you're eating the pectin and the fiber.
I like grapes.
I know you do.
Squeezed. Okay. Let's go to the phone.
And walked on. And...
That's right. Karen, how can I help you? I have to get away from Dr. Scott. How can we do? Karen, are you there? I will apologize to everything. Poor Jeff today is sitting there running around. Our screen caller is off. He's trying to run the board. He's trying to answer your calls.
He's doing another lap, I think.
And he's doing another lap around the thing. But anyway, Karen, I'm going to answer your question because you want to know about neuropathy as a result of, I'm going to assume, chemotherapeutics. Understand what chemo does. Chemotherapy destroys cells. It destroys nerves. The whole idea with chemotherapy of any sort is that it is designed to kill the cancer cell before the chemotherapy kills you, because the cancer cell is a weaker cell. But one of the side effects is neuropathic problems. If it's limited, it can restore function, but if it's significant and the damage has been done, it can be permanent and it won't return. So there's things that you can do, but it's one of those things. Karen, listen, and any of you that would like an answer to the question that we don't get to on the phone, all you need to do is go to rosellecare.com, R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. That's rosellecare.com. Send us a note, and we'll get back to you. We'll answer the questions. You can either go to my email or Dr. Scott's. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozell live on Easter Sunday, 888-630-9625. We're always here for you. We never want to make these a pre-recorded anything because your calls are very important to us. We want to give you the most up-to-date information that we possibly can. We're here at 12 noon Eastern Time. Those of you on the West Coast that listen and our friends in the Midwest and Donna's in Arizona, you do the math, you know how to find us. And again, we salute those of you listening to us on Armed Forces Radio. We know many of you are out there because we've received your emails. Thank you so very much. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock at the Rozell Center for Healing. All you have to do is call 703-698-7117 and register for Dr. Scott's class on the gluten connection, digestive disorders, and all the other things. He's going to talk about pain. He's going to talk about your brain. He's going to talk about things that you can really make a difference on and not have to live the way you're living. That's why we do these programs. That's why we do the radio show. Let's go to the phones and find out about tinnitus. Welcome. Nope, we lost our caller as well. So, caller called in and asked about tinnitus. Again, we apologize for a lot of technical problems that we're having today, but we'll get them fixed up by the time we're here the next time. So, tinnitus is one of those things that it's either buzzing or ringing in the ear. It's sometimes people will say it sounds like crickets, and it can be a high buzz, high pitch, or very low droning sound, or just this annoying thing. And it has to do with a lot of different pieces. It's not just straight up and simple. In Eastern medicine, if you hear anything that's really high-pitched, you know, it's a very high sound and it's got this ringing sound, that often has to do with liver energy and liver function. The liver can be toxic, and it's usually a vitamin B pathway problem. Niacin is often very effective. If it's low and droning, it's a kidney energy problem. And it can be, if it's a cricket sound, then it's the middle ear. It can have to do with the cochlea and the damage and the dying off of the hair cells within that area itself. It can be as a result of the eustachian tube, the drainage tube from the ear into the throat that opens and closes. That's usually neurological. It has to do with the structural components of the back of the neck and the base of the skull. You treat that, it goes away. Many of those things, and Scott's sitting there with wiggling his jaw, and it can be a temporomandibular joint problem as well, Scott. You're very right. And so you look at it multidimensionally. Are they fixable? In many cases, the majority of these things can be resolved, and they can go to allergy reactions in the things that Dr. Scott was talking about today with gluten sensitivity. So you look at it multifaceted, and you treat what's there, because remember that structural chemical emotional triad is in play, affecting multiple systems within the body. The whole idea is to find out where it started, how it started, and you approach it by fixing those things. Join us this Wednesday evening, and you'll find a lot of answers to your questions. Dr. Scott, what I'd like you to do right now is kind of give us a thumbnail brief about what you're going to get into Wednesday evening and what people can expect to go away with.
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick aspect of digestion from north to south, and some of the weather systems are very important. Then we're going to talk about how you overlay that with gluten. We'll have a survey out to kind of test yourself to see where you stand against other people, to give you an idea, is this something that would be a problem or not. And then we'll go into some more of the details of gluten and how it kind of breaks down in each one of those points where it creates problems. I mean, it's an amazing thing that you see things from, like Thomas talking, joint pain. Even if you get an autistic child out there, that's going to be another aspect that could actually come into play and create problems.
You know, the interesting thing is a lot of damaged skin tissue.
Yep.
You know, rough skin, blotchiness, depigmentation, and so forth.
Yep.
You know, it has a lot to do with mold and fungus and spores and so forth, but it can have a lot to do with gluten and grain.
Yeah, because you think of the body, it's like one of the ways the body wants to get things out of the body is out of through the skin. And a lot of times I just had a patient this week that it came in, and basically the presentations, a lot of it is the acne and the skin going on.
You know, I tell patients that you do one of two things in the body metabolically. You either eliminate or you assimilate.
Right.
And if you quit putting it in, your body's got to get rid of it, and it'll take every opportunity to heal itself. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your presenter, 703-698-7117, or go to RozelleCare.com. Join us. I think you're going to be impressed. We're coming up to that sad time of the show when we have to say we'll see you next week. We're here at the same time, same place, bringing you the most updated information. Why? Because we love you. See you then. Bye.
Bye.